Welcome to Supernova Stories, a podcast miniseries where we, two ska aficionados, bring you behind-the-scenes stories from the journey to the 2021 Supernova International Ska Festival from the artists and organizers themselves. I'm Matt Wixon.
And I'm JJ Loy. On this episode, we are joined by one of the most impactful ska superfans around. Together with his wife, April, he founded the Supernova Ska Festival back in 2014 and has since grown into the largest of its kind in the U.S. How do you say his name?
Don't actually know. So I have to do a little bit of business first. Neither JJ or I know how to pronounce your last name.
Oh, it's a receiver, like a telephone receiver.
All right.
He kind of took the French pronunciation, and I was like, well, if you're going French, then I'm going straight American. It's receiver.
All right, JJ. Yeah, good job.
I got creative with it, and he was like, well, I guess I have to default to the easy one.
Yeah, he took the other option. So.
Yeah, well, good job, JJ.
Well, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you finally, Tim. I know we've been like friends on Facebook for a while, but
I've been inviting you to come out for years, so you got to do it one year when COVID's not a
well. That's part of it, is I'm like pretty socially anxious already for something like strange festival in a strange town kind of thing, so I've always talked myself out of it anyway, and like there was just no way I could like talk myself into that, like this year of all years,
not the year to do it.
Even though like the biggest draws were honestly like to meet Matt face to face. He's been my partner for a while now. I should meet this motherfucker face to face. But then I also really like the idea, like the prospect of doing like HornPod live would be really fun at some point. But
I told JJ like we could just like book the lounge of one of the hotels one night and just everybody get shit faced and like we do a podcast with whoever wants to talk to us.
That's what Steve Jackson does in his room.
Right. Yeah. I remember like stumbling. I don't know how I ended up in Steve's room at the last Nova, but it like wasn't even a sleeping space. Like they just rented a conference room. it was just like a meeting room that had like a bathroom and like 50 seats. And
I think it's a really good strategy though. Like make yourself like a,
it was like the hangout, but
center,
it was,
yeah,
but it was like, There, like Danny Rebel was sitting on a couch just playing a set. There was like a podcast being recorded in like the opposite corner of the room. So like it, obviously like there's music and they don't give a fuck what's happening. And like the podcast was just people like pounding like straight out of the bottle liquor before going and telling Steve like ridiculous tour stories. And it was like other people were there for it and yelling over each other
like on a mic kind of thing.
Yeah, or just yeah, like he had mics. Okay. Like
it's like a presented kind of thing,
sort of like it was, yeah, he was just like hanging out with his buddies and everybody's just fun stories, shit-faced. So that's
gonna miss that hotel. Yeah,
so if you want to know what you could look forward to, there's one thing you could we talked to Greg Lee on Friday to kind of get his side of the story of like the way they got back onto the festival.
Oh man, how did that? I can't wait to hear that.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, no, they're great, and I heard the same story he was telling me as it was going on. But I think that's probably the most stressful thing out of this whole year has been, you know, their manager like, oh, sorry, they're not coming anymore. And it's like, oh shit, like how are we gonna get out of this?
So what was, I heard that like you had to cancel your backup plan when they rejoined.
No, it wasn't. We were trying to get Les and Jake as a backup, like to come out. And I think we were like headed in the right direction. There was a couple people that just couldn't make it work for September. And then we were trying to get the English Beat as like the second band, like they were trying to get them out here. And they would have had to do a red eye out here. And, you know, it was going to be a little bit too much of a quick turnaround for them, especially in a pandemic.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is like all those kind of ask, everything kind of fell apart on like probably a Thursday. And then by Thursday night, they had rejoined. So it's like, oh, great. Cause everything I had like completely.
Oh, good. So. Okay.
There were a lot of other artists. Well, I don't know about a lot of artists. There were other artists that you had almost confirmed as well. Like who else almost made it this year?
We had the Planet Smashers for like a year.
Right.
And then the visas, the work visas, like they would have to pay for the whole year for like 3 months and they didn't have anything else booked in the U.S. So it didn't make a lot of sense.
Sure.
So we swapped them out with Bucko 9. So that was one. There's been a couple of the Scapones backed out, and just coming over from the UK is hard. And we're like, naturally, right now we're working on Ring Ding to try to get him over here. And like, he has to get a special visa to come over. He just can't come over on a normal, like, visa free.
Is it because of all of his crimes?
Yeah. It's obviously
his deviancies.
Murdering sound boys.
Yeah.
With so many felonies, you can't get into the US very easily nowadays.
I like the idea of any ska band that doesn't have like their full lineup being called less than
less than Ring Ding.
Yeah. You know, like
less than Scapone.
Yeah. Like,
well, that's we love Eastern Standard Time, and they're our backup, you know, they're the band, like backup band for everybody, our house band for all these great acts. That
they're amazing.
So they make it easy for us. God, to bring
it's so good to have a band like that local. And like, I think Chuck out in Chicago, Chuck Wren has that in some of his bands, like the Prize Fighters, where he can bring them into town to be like a reliable band for any old person, because both them and Eastern Standard Time, I've seen them as backing bands for some incredible.
Roy Ellis.
Yeah.
Derek Morgan. They were
Derek Morgan at Supernova. Like, yeah.
Stellar. Couldn't have been any better.
Right. No, that Derek Morgan set. My God.
I know. And they're all fantastic guys too. So it's, you know, like every year it's like, okay, we'll just make sure we've got spots in there for Eastern Standard Time. And then like, oh wait, we got an old timer here that wants to come in and play. Like maybe we can get, you know, and we're looking at options in the future. And you know, they Roy Ellis and those kinds, you know, they just know all the songs start to finish, the whole catalog.
Nice. Yeah.
They played Dr. Ring Ding in 2018 and we had a lightning strike above the stage like during their set almost.
Yep.
That's short.
I mean, the 2018 one was just all kinds of
mud.
I mean, that bottom of the hill, man. The bottom of that hill.
it was bad getting down that hill. Oh my gosh. Unbelievable.
The two sets I played were both at the bottom of the hill, including the Crombies one at the end of the night. And it was like Woodstock for skinheads, like just
is
covered in mud. Yeah. Mud? Like Dave Simon, like the guitar player from the Crombies, at the end of the set walked out, held his guitar straight out in front of him, and just dropped it directly into a puddle of mud like an insane person. It was the best. And then like, and of course it ends with us and everybody that was around singing Monkey Man on stage. So it was just people trampling mud, covering everything in mud.
Didn't you do like the like you did something with Vic, didn't you? Like Silence.
Yeah, Vic joined my band for our set at the bottom of the hill, which was a little bit less muddy.
I've seen a couple songs on that. It was great though.
Yeah, and thank you again for having us, because I know that you've got your choice of bands and you chose to pick my punk band. And
we had no idea it would be that muddy down there. So
no, I have no complaints about my placement. I'm flattered that I was asked to play, and we tried to make the best of it by including Vic on a couple of songs of his, just to try to be like, yeah, we're gonna act like we belong here too.
This year we kind of learned our lesson from that year. It's like we're gonna do the stages side by side and just kind of go back and forth, so we're not, you know everybody's like, I don't want to miss anything, and you have to make some hard choices sometimes.
Right.
You know, that weather too, it like made it really hard, because I was like having to pull like Jay Navarro, like Suicide Machines are getting ready to go in for three more songs.
Right,
it's like,
right.
Sorry, you can't do that. Oh, Stubborn All-Stars want to play another like encore.
The same time, I mean, like it kind of hurts those bands. But for the festival itself, the way it kept going in the tents, with, you know, like Chris Murray and Danny Rebel and Sammy Kay and whoever else singing tunes under the tent, like that kind of has like its own character. Like that's something you can't get everywhere.
Yeah, they were great, and we got all those. Everybody's coming back again, and we got plenty of tents this year just in case.
The tent is like Plan B. Like if the festival shuts down, we always have the tents.
Lots of tents. Yeah.
So, do you have any favorite memories from all the many years of Supernova that's happened?
Like, what are you most proud of pulling off?
I really liked the, it was like Agrolites, Pie Tasters, and Gregly all playing together, like Agrolite or playing Hepcat songs.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. That was just kind of came together. And that was the same night as Derek Morgan and EST. And that was, you know, that took a lot of, you have no idea, like, to try to get a hold of Derek Morgan and like his people and all the back and forth it takes to get him up. But, you know, he's a fantastic man, like such a great guy. But, you know, just seeing him up there, cause like he's got massive back problems. So he was on his back the entire weekend. Like he got in, laid down and was on his back until Saturday night and then got up there and did his set and then was back down on his, you know, so it's like he got up there and just like, you wouldn't know it from the set.
But right.
He could barely walk.
Yeah. I had no idea.
Oh, I'd say those, like, it's, I know it's just one night, but the Scant seeing them play was, we turned the bass up super loud. Like,
but like, I feel like that the ska scene needed an introduction to them. And I feel like that they made a good impact coming to Supernova that year.
Yeah. That was the first band we signed in 2017. Like when we went really big, I'm like, I really want this band to be here.
Yeah.
And like in 2016, it was like, okay, they were just starting to kind of break a little bit. And when we put them on there, people were like, who? And then after that, they're like, oh, Scancer. Everybody knew him, obviously, you know, afterwards.
Right. But we did, like, a lot, I guarantee a lot of people didn't know what they were getting into when they saw them and, like, are now bragging about having seen them.
Yeah.
At that show. Oh,
it was so good. And our sound guys, we've had the same sound crew, like, every year. So yeah. They'll be back again this year. But just, like, you don't have to worry about, like, if it's going to sound really good because they, you know, they do a top-notch job.
So, like, how did this festival start? Like, when... Because it started way smaller than it currently is.
Yeah, we started back in 2013. Like, well, 2014, but like 2013, we were doing a house party with Chris Murray that got a little too big. And so we went to a brewery and said, could we do a, you know, could we do something here? We'll probably have like 60 or 70 people. And then Chris showed up and Django showed up and, you know, a lot of people from DC showed up. And then we did the next summer we did a small festival with the Pie Tasters and the Snails and Chris Murray, and that went really well, and we kind of raided the back, all the beer in the back of the brewery, and the manager even left like about 2 hours into it, and you know, everything in there got drank, and you know, we were so worried because it's like, well, you know, it's like it'd be the only time we ever do this, so we'll just go ahead and like whatever, just drink, the guy's
let's
not
just
even
burn
here to
this
do it.
Bridge
let's burn it to the ground. And so the manager, like, or the owner is like, he calls me the next day and he's like, you know, could you come in and can we talk about this? And I'm like, shit. And I went in there like belligerent, like ready to fight, you know, and he's like, that was awesome, like, can we do it again next year?
And, wow,
because he made a ton of money.
Yeah.
And so then we made it 2 days in 2015, and it went pretty well.
So wait, he didn't bill you for a bunch of beer that got drunk?
No, not at all. Not at all. No, awesome. he wanted to entertain. And the next year we sold out everything. Like by Saturday, all the beer was sold out and he had to get more beer on Sunday. And it's been the same every place we've been. Like we tell people every time, like we sell out of beer. Like, make sure you have plenty of beer. Like, that's your only job. I'm doing everything else. Just make sure you have plenty of beer. And they laugh and then they run out of beer.
So how do you view the festival in, like, how do you view its place in the ska scene? Do you still think of this as like a local show that you're putting on for like the local audience? Or
no,
has...
I mean, it's more like, yeah, it's more like national. Like we don't even, like we've moved.
I mean, it's international at this point, obviously, but
yeah, there are people coming from everywhere for sure. But you know, we kind of started like just kind of pulling people from Virginia and DC and Baltimore, and then it's just like slowly been expanding from there. And you know,
but it's even as something that attracts people from around the world, it still seems like it's kind of like put on by the local scene. It's almost like a community effort. And like those bands, I don't know if you've seen this, but like I've seen it as a visitor to the festival, that like it seems like the local scene takes a lot of pride in welcoming people.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. And that's, you know, every year we have the Pie Tasters just kind of close it out. And
yeah,
you know, like you said, the Scotch Bonnets, the Loving Poppers, all these bands are are really great. Everybody knows everybody. When you go to a show in DC, it's like, it's the been the hardest thing for like the last year and a half not to see any of these people on a regular basis.
Have you already started planning next year's?
Yeah. My wife is sitting here, so I would say no. I'll send you the link.
Again, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, no, we're you know, like I think we're gonna probably take a break and just see where COVID is like next year.
I wouldn't blame you.
so stressful to kind of, you know, try to plan all this, and then, you know, when you have to cancel, when the city says okay, you got to cancel it, then you're like, sorry people, we have to cancel it. They're like, why do you have to do this? Are you gonna, you know, are you gonna cancel it again? And it's like, I'm not, it's not me, man. It's not, I didn't do it.
Nobody gave you shit for that, did they?
Oh no, I mean a few people, you know, but when we rescheduled the dates, they're like, are you gonna reschedule again? And I'm like, it's not me, man. Like, I have nothing to do with this.
Like, dude, I'm trying to put the show on for you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see we're live streaming the show, like the whole thing?
I did. Good. I kickstarted it.
Thank you. Of course. Oh, I should do that. Kickstarter. Yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah. Well, we should plug that for sure.
Yeah, we're doing half price, like $17 for 30 hours of music, like on the Kickstarter, and then like after that's over with, then it goes to like the full price on Mandolin. Right.
I'm so glad you're going to be doing the live stream, because I have to say the regular Supernova like online events you were doing last year were just like, I don't know, really anchoring, like really, really great to see. And like, I wouldn't have had I liked all those kind of silver lining moments of COVID where it was like, oh, well, if it weren't for COVID, I wouldn't get a chance to have this, like, you know, this band play right to me right now, you know?
Right.
Yeah. That's, you know, that was all Johnny Bravo. Cause I was thinking like, I want to do this. Okay. But how do I do it? And then I reached out to Johnny. I'm like, how do we do this? And he put all the infrastructure for that together. And then we did like a virtual festival last June, and we raised money for like Alpha Institute in Jamaica. And anyway, him and Cooley, like they were like, they did all the work on that. I was just kind of trying to book people to come on.
You're just the talent booker.
Yeah. Well, I messaged Linval Golding from the Specials, and I was like, oh man, I'd love to have him on there. And he just had COVID like right before, like this, right when COVID was kind of taken off. And I'm like, oh, I'd love to have him on. He's feeling better. And so I sent him a message like at 9 a.m. and like 9:05, he calls me on my phone. I don't know the guy, you know, but it's like, oh my gosh, this is kind of out of body talking about the Rolling Stones and touring with them.
How many conversations have you had like that with people where you're, cause obviously like you're a very big ska fan, right?
Oh yeah.
This isn't, you're not just in it for the money. like, I assume that you probably like through the process of booking this, and even just like hanging out at your festival, you've had like conversations with people just where like you kind of, you're like, how the hell am I sitting here talking to this person? Like just making small talk with this fucking person who is so big in this world that I care so much about.
Yeah, we did like a I don't know if you came to that toaster show, like the pre-party.
I did, yes.
Well, like Doreen Schaefer was there, and I'd never met her before. I just sent, you know, I invited her to come and play, and but I'm seeing her sitting there, and like she's just like tapping her foot and like having a heck of a time and drinking a beer, and I went, you know, went up to her and like introduced myself, and she like gave me a huge hug, and like that letter you wrote meant so much, and like we were just trying to get her to come out and to play with Western Standard Time, which was that was a great moment too, I think.
Oh man.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And I had the chance to speak with her briefly while she was waiting to go on with Western Standard Time. And she's just the sweetest goddamn lady too.
She is.
Oh my God.
I keep hearing all these horror stories about like working with old Jamaicans and, you know, like, I don't know who's told me those over the years, but I've heard it from a lot of people. And, you know, I'm getting ready to work with Derek Morgan. It's like, oh no, this is going to be a disaster. I hope I can even get it to the end. And it turns out he's like a sweetheart of a guy. And he calls me all the time, you know, like he doesn't call in a while, but he was calling a lot
that
for a while.
Asshole.
One of my few
Derek, please call me.
One of my few attempts at booking a show was trying to get Eric Monte Morris to play St. Louis, and it blew up so hard in my face because of just personality. Like he just But it's nice to know, like, I would say anybody of that era has all right to be cynical or you know, even a little jaded or whatever. But like to hear that, like, you wrote a letter that like really matters to Doreen, like that's really sweet. Like that's really, it's good to hear that she cares, you know?
Yeah. And I think a lot of this too is like, it just showing them the respect that they, you know, where they fit into the history of this and, you know, making sure that people know that. And we're giving them, you know, great slots and, you know, trying to recognize what they contributed.
Ska festivals in general seem to always put Jamaicans in their proper place, like at the top of the heap.
Yeah.
You know, like for whatever, I don't know how reggae festivals around the world don't take care, don't like support and celebrate the foundational artists. And they put them on like 3 p.m. slots on side stages and shit. But like everything that's been like a ska festival, if it's got Derek Morgan, Derek Morgan's got the spotlight, you know? Like, yeah, that's like, these people have given so much to so much. They've given so much to so many genres of music that,
yeah. And that's
it's amazing to see people like you celebrate them and give them the proper respect. And I think it's you, and I think it's the ska scene in general, because I don't know if a reggae audience, like, and I know that ska and reggae have the same audience in a lot of situations, but I think you know the differences I'm talking about. Sure. Like, some of those people don't give a shit. And I think ska is very good about celebrating its elders. And I think that you doing that on your festival when you don't have to is an important part of it as well.
Yeah. And my wife is out of the room right now, so I'll tell you, like, I was like thinking of like a year of legends, you know, where we bring in like those foundational, you know, and even the Selector and those kind of bands.
Yeah.
Know,
oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, know. Yeah.
We were trying to do this with Bad Manners this year, is bringing in Buster and having him do some, you know, do some kind of a honoree each year,
or even pairing new bands with an old vocalist or something like that. Just make it.
That's what I was thinking too, is like, yeah, you bring in like the biggest of each era.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And maybe even like, you know, each night is like a different era or something.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
Or you kind of build like a, you know, first, second, third, fourth, you know, wave band in there or something.
Fifth wave,
My wife just walked back in the room, so we...
Uh-oh, busted.
April, if you can hear me, he's talking about fifth wave.
We're way ahead. Maybe by the time COVID's done.
He's trying to start a fifth wave over here.
Already skipped that fourth.
This madman!
Never gonna happen.
Well, hey, I don't know what else I gotta ask you or tell you about, but I think that your festival is just swell, Tim. Honestly, I think that this year's festival... And I say this with fucking like heavy heart, because I'm not going, is the best ska festival lineup I've ever seen. And it is so impressive that you can pull this stuff off. And thank you again for ever letting me be a part of it in the first.
Oh yeah.
But like, it's so cool that you get to do that, that you provide this. It's just so cool that you put this together on such a level, and that you do everything right from the fans' standpoint. You do pretty much everything you could possibly do correctly, and it's so cool. That's awesome.
Oh no, thanks. I do appreciate that quite a bit. And JJ, I got to say, like, I listened to all the old Ska Blah Blahs that you were doing back in the day, taking the road trip to Tennessee, you know, and all, you know, I listened to these on the road, like back and forth. And
oh man, anyway,
it was a lot of inspiration, like, of, you know, to put this together. And
oh, holy cow. That's so great to hear, man. Thank you.
JJ is one of the original people to turn ska fandom into a thing. So
yeah,
he's out here turning everybody into businesses.
It's all corporate now.
It's all fucking JJ. Corporate. JJ brought money into the thing, and well,
which is funny, because I always wanted to be known as the guy that says that there's no money in ska music. Like, I want that to be like my official quote. Oh man.
You know, as a fellow ska fan, I also was a fan of JJ's show and his blog and all of that. And
yeah.
Get out of here.
He interviewed me on his old show in like 2008 or something, wasn't it? It was a very long time ago that we were on a show together. And then I did a song for your old radio show.
I feel like as we backtrack through our like our message history, we realized that we were like
they go deeper and deeper.
To do a podcast all along. Yeah, like we talked about this years ago.
We actually were in fourth grade together somehow. Yeah. It's very weird.
You've never met in person.
No, so no.
You're only a couple
we're in
states
opposite
away,
sides you know? Of the classroom, but we were in fourth grade together. And opposite ends of the alphabet, kind of. He used his other name. I don't know.
Not even lunch was.
But yeah, seriously, thank you so much again. I hope I see your face on the live stream. I don't know if you've got some kind of entertainment thing or you just have cameras. No.
I have a face.
He's thinking,
radio.
He said no.
You know who's doing it though is Mike DiMatteo from Sergeant Scagnetti, who's worked with NBC Productions. Yeah. And I mean, it's like world class. He's bringing people down. They're doing 3 or 4 HD cameras, audio, everything, and like both stages. And it's just going to be nonstop all weekend.
Oh, sweet. It's so like professionally cool presented.
Yeah, it's gonna be really good. Oh, I can't, but Mike can.
No, I'm excited.
Thanks,
that,
Mike.
That you can get somebody to do that. Yeah. I'm excited that this is something that you can provide for the festival. Is what I mean.
Well, you know, this is all because it is because of the fans, though. Because we tried to get a grant from the state to do live streaming because of COVID, and they shot us down. But we were talking with Mandolin, the streaming platform, and you know, we got shot down. It's like, okay, our plan B is do a Kickstarter and hopefully we can get to a level where we can actually make it work.
So would the easiest way to be just like Google Supernova 2021 Kickstarter?
Yeah, or supernovascott.com, and there, it's right on the top.
Right on there.
Now this will be our biggest festival we've ever done. 40 bands, 30 hours of music. It's nonstop Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So if you can make it, there are a few tickets left. If you already have your tickets, congratulations. We'll see you there.
I really appreciate you being on the show, Tim. And it was really great to meet you finally.
Yeah, you too, JJ. Thank you very much. I really appreciate having me on, guys. And JJ, you got to come down some other year where we don't have a pandemic going on.
I'm straight up gonna. Like, that's all there is to
you're
it.
You're
going to
come to Detroit and we'll podcast on the road down.
Right, yeah.
We'll do a fucking 8-hour live stream, 12-hour live stream.
Our tour diary.